Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views. The views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, if you're out across America and you'd like to talk to us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But this evening we're going to have a program that originates back in the Windy City in Chicago, where we have listeners right now. And we're going to be talking to Pastor Ray Barnett about the program Teen Challenge. Now, you know, you look back to 1960, the years I was growing up, 1950, early 1960s, you didn't hear much about drugs. There wasn't a drug problem in America. A few kids were on alcohol, but the use of hard drugs was something that just didn't exist at that time. But everything began to change about the early part of the 1960s as we took God and prayer out of our schools. And we had young people that were growing up without any sort of a moral anchor. As somebody said recently, it's illegal for a child to pray in school, or to bring a Bible into school and read it, but it's not illegal for a prisoner in a maximum security prison to read a Bible. So why is it illegal for a child to have a Bible or read a Bible in our schools, but not in our prisons? Well, it's very simple. I believe there's a tragic situation where there is a conspiracy against Christianity. There's a conspiracy against God, and they're doing a pretty good job to confuse an awful lot of our young people. And the great tragedy is that so many of our young people are onto drugs today, and they go to psychiatrists, and they go to psychologists, and they go from program to program, and most of them, frankly, don't work. The only thing that will really heal somebody who has this terrible addiction, this terrible problem, is the Word of God. And with us, of course, is Pastor Ray Barnett, who's in a program that has about an 80% success rate of those who complete the program. It's an amazing program, and we have the branches of Teen Challenge right out here in the Monterey Bay area where I live, and they're all across the country. Ray, thank you so much for being with us again this evening.
Thank you, Doctor, for having us.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about Teen Challenge that you're with, and how it really is impacting on lives, and how you came to get into this ministry.
Okay. Teen Challenge has been around since 1958. It started with a fellow by the name of David Wilkerson in New York City, and he went there to minister to teenage gangs, where they were having a lot of problems with teenage gangs destroying property and killing each other, and a lot of things that was happening back then. Of course, we see happening today in much a much wider spectrum because of the influence of our television shows and the movies and all the other things that our young people get involved in. But what happened is that it grew into from a one center in Brooklyn, New York, and now there's over 500 centers around the United States and the world. But Teen Challenge is a program that is based on God's Word. It's a program. It's really, truly a Christian discipleship program. What happens is when someone comes into Teen Challenge, and again, it's reaching far beyond just teenagers now. A lot of times, our program here, we have men in here from the age of 18 to 55. And so it's not just a teenage problem any longer, and it's not just an urban problem any longer. So we see a lot of people coming to Teen Challenge that are just completely destroying themselves with drugs and alcohol. Many of them come from places that we, let's say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have had problems with that. With drugs and alcohol, but now it's a major problem in a lot of our smaller cities and a lot of our rural areas. They're having big problems with drugs and alcohol. So it's not an urban problem anymore, but it's a problem that's touching every facet of society. So what they do, they come here and they first of all. It's a very disciplined and very structured program here. I got involved with Teen Challenge. I pastored for about 16 years, and I was in the early 70s involved in Teen Challenge for a while, and in Philadelphia, and then I left there and went into the pastorate. But just a few years ago, actually 5 years ago, God called me back into this ministry of Teen Challenge. So it's really been an experience of a going full circle around into the ministry, and this is truly a ministry. You know, we talk about the program, and really, it's not the program that changes the person, but it's the power and the blood of Jesus Christ as they accept Jesus Christ into their lives, as they accept the Lord and ask Him to. And they humble themselves before God, and they ask Him, Lord, I need help. I've come to the very end of my being. I cannot make it any longer. I need You. And as we see men here in Chicago, we see men come to that point. Then we see the work of redemption take place, and it's a miraculous thing to see a man come in off the street, and three or four weeks later, he's singing in our choir. And giving testimony of what Christ has done in his life. So Teen Challenge is a powerful ministry that brings salvation. It also brings deliverance from drugs and alcohol.
Well, it really is an amazing program, because I've seen some of the young men who've been through the program. I've been to the graduation ceremonies.
Sure.
As these young men there in their suits and ties. And, you know, a year before, they were the dregs of society with really
Sure.
no hope at all.
Exactly.
And yet, of course, this is a transforming experience. Now, one of the things, apparently, is that the person has to ask for help. Somebody else can't ask for help for them, can they?
Exactly. We have a lot of calls. A lot of parents and a lot of grandparents, a lot of pastors, there's a lot of people that are concerned about these people that are hopeless, and many times they are hopeless when they come to us. They've tried just about every other program. They've been in psychiatric wards. But the main thing is that, and we have to tell those loved ones, even though they're wanting the best for their loved one, we have to tell them, look, they need to call us, because we need to hear from them why you want to come to Teen Challenge.
Now, this, of course, I think the important thing to realize, this is not something you just come in every Saturday or I come in during the day. You
right.
come in, you live there, you are under their discipline, you leave, you're through. You know, you can come back, what is it, a month later? But
Yeah, 30 days.
30 days, but if you leave and you disobey the rules, you're out for 30 days.
Sure.
And you know, of course, there are a lot of, what percentage of the young people drop out of the program?
I would say probably, I know I can give you statistics here in Chicago, about 35%, you know, don't make it past the 4 months. That means they, after 4 months, they complete here. Now, this is an induction center where we get them as they come right out, off the streets or right out of their addiction, and this is the first stage of coming out of their addiction is coming to our program here in Chicago. There are other programs throughout the country that are intake type programs and first phase programs, but in Chicago we are a first phase program, and they come here and they'll stay 4 months. Then they move on to what we call the second phase, which is a training phase in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, or Rarysburg, Pennsylvania.
All right. Now, what happens in the second phase of the program? In other words, how is the second phase different than the first phase?
Well, again, as far as the length of time, they stay here 4 months. The second phase is anywhere between 8 to 10 months. And there, they could just continue in their studies as far as studying the Word of God, of going to classes. We have lessons that help them to bring out issues in their lives through a biblical means of study that will help them to overcome these issues that has plagued them for many, many years. Many times they come, you know, out of bad situations, and they bring in a lot of mixed baggage with them, you know, that drugs usually is an acting out of something that is really more serious going on in a person's life. Is that the drug use is just an escape away from those issues many times. So we have lessons that help them deal and look at what is really happening in their lives so that they can, the Holy Spirit's allowed to come in and help, you know, bring that stuff to the surface so that they can deal with it.
Well, you just have to immerse the people in the Bible, and of course they have to work there as well, don't they? How do you, is any of the young people are working? Do they work there in your unit? Do you have any sort of businesses to help finance what you do? Because I know you won't take any government money.
Yes. Well, what we do here in Chicago, and again, the fellows that come in here, and this is a men's program, so the fellows that come in here, they have a $550 intake fee, and that takes care of their first 4 months as far as their food, their clothing. We have a huge blessing room. A guy can come in here with absolutely nothing and leave here completely outfitted in clothing and shoes and, you know, everything that he might need to go on to second phase. It also takes care of their education, takes care of their physical, because they have to get a physical when they come in. And so that $550 is depleted quickly. So what we have here, we clean YMCAs. We have a good rapport with the YMCAs here in the Chicagoland area, and we clean YMCAs. We take on odd jobs. Every Sunday we go around to different churches. We're scheduled every Sunday at different churches. We have a men's choir that we go around and we have choir and go into churches. They take up offerings and love offerings for us. So that's more or less how we function here.
And of course, it's really that and the people who are, you know, willing to contribute.
Exactly. Private donors. That's a large part of our budget here also. Also, we have fundraisers and we have banquets and different things throughout the year that helps, raise funds for this particular, Center in Chicago.
Well, of course, this is a nationwide organization.
Exactly.
We've certainly been in touch with our local unit here. We've had people from our local unit. This is one of the most amazing things to see life's totally restored. You know, God really does do miracles. God's in the business of doing miracles. We don't usually think about it, but a transformed life is really an amazing thing. Now, you know, I'm sure you've studied secular approach to drug rehabilitation. What's their success rate overall for the people who complete the average secular program? How many of those young people go back to drugs?
The secular rates are very low. Usually it's right around anywhere between 2 to 4 to 6%. Most of our guys that come here to this program has been through many, many different secular programs. And I myself am a product of the drug culture. I had a bout with drugs and alcohol. And I was in a secular program and the minute I got out of the program, I was back into my mess again. So, you know, they have to offer them more than just, you know, a substitute, giving them some other drug to help them overcome the drugs that they do. That stuff don't work. You have to have a life change. You know, we know through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a total change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it's very important that as they come to this facility, the first thing we do is challenge them to, first of all, give their lives over to Christ. Many of them come from places where they have been in a church service, or they have a mom and dad that's saved, or somebody who has let them know that Teen Challenge is a Christ-centered Christian organization. So they already know coming here that, that's what we're about is helping them find and gain a relationship with Christ.
And this is the only means you really have, you know, of changing these lives. Yes, there'll be an occasional person that can get off this on their own. There'll be an occasional person that can go through a secular program and come out. But most of them will not do it. And history shows that this approach works, but it has to be being totally immersed in the Word of God.
Exactly.
It's got to be a situation where you can't leave. In other words, you can't go out just for a day, you know, because,
right,
you know, you don't need those drugs. As the fellow said, I can get off drugs any time I want to. I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But, of course, he's going to go back to them again.
Exactly.
So you have to replace that longing each one of us has, you know, for something more important.
Sure.
And, of course, you have to rely upon the Lord once you get into this terrible, terrible situation. So is there a lot of support from the people who are already there towards the people who are just coming in?
Oh, yeah. What happens when a fellow comes in here, we have what they call a Big Brother program here. And the time a person comes into this program, the very first few hours he is here, he's assigned what we call a big brother. In other words, it's one of the senior students who is doing well in the program, and we let that person lead them through this first week or so of their program. That's the toughest time for them, because a lot of guys, they're not used to the things that we do here. They're not used to getting up at a certain time. They're not used to eating at a certain time. They're not used to praying and going to chapel and all the other things that we do here, going to class and having devotions. They're not used to any of that. So we give them a fellow who is doing well in the program, and we let him help them through that part of this program. And it gets him, they encourage them, they help them and show them the way. They instruct them on what to do and what not to do, because that's a big part of this, because discipline is a very big part of Teen Challenge. And giving discipline to people who break rules and break regulations. But we allow them to be able to be tutored through that by a big brother.
No, now, of course, so do you take people who are actually physically addicted? Do they have to at least be over the acute symptoms? Or do you take them, you know, when they are totally addicted and they're going to go through withdrawal?
We sometimes take guys who have to go through withdrawals. If they've been on heroin or they've been on a substance that or a serious alcoholic, we many times will we have certain detox centers that we tell them, look, you really need to go to this detox center to get detoxed because we just don't have the medical ability here to detox you the way you need to be detoxed.
But of course, you can go through detox, and you're going to go right back to it because you're still going to have the same longings. Well, when we get back, of course, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll tell you about how to get hold of the Teen Challenge there in Chicago. And is there some sort of a national number? Well, we'll get all of that information when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Pastor Ray Barnett, and we're talking about Teen Challenge. Really a wonderful program to get people of almost any age through this problem, because it's far more than the physical addiction. These people are looking for something. There has to be something to fill that terrible void in their lives. Is there any similar program for women at all, or for girls?
Yes, Teen Challenge has many different programs for women. We don't have as many programs for women as we do for men. The men's programs far outweigh the women's programs, but we do have some great programs throughout the country for women. And unfortunately here in Illinois, we don't, as of yet, they're getting ready in Decatur, Illinois, to begin an adolescent women's program for girls that are 13-year-olds to 17-year-olds. And that's going to begin somewhere either from, I think they have it slated for October.
All right. Well, now,
to begin.
Okay. Now, as far as the phrase programs that you have, how would people get in touch with your program there in Chicago? And let's say they're listening somewhere back in New York State. How would they find Teen Challenge?
Okay. You could get on our website. I'll tell you what, they could even go to the main website of Teen Challenge, which is www.teenchallenge.com. And, that will give you a list of every Teen Challenge center in the United States. And, then you could go down to scroll down to Chicago, of course, it would give you all our information. Or you could, get on and our email address is TCIChicago@AOL.com.
No, I'm sorry. TC what, Chicago?
TCI.
TCI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
@AOL.com.
Right.
Or you could call us. And our number here is 773-772-2211. That's 773-772-2211.
All right. What does TCI stand for?
Teen Challenge Illinois.
Okay, Teen Challenge Illinois. And and how many units do you have there in the Illinois area?
In the Illinois area, we have Chicago. We have Peoria Center, which is a men's center also. And we have up-and-coming the Decatur Center.
All right. And this is really such a worthwhile program because I've seen so many lives actually transformed by it. And perhaps later in the program, I'll give you some of my personal experiences, not in the program, but actually seeing what it's done and how lives are transformed. And the problem we have in society today is America has turned against God. And as are not allowed to be taught in our schools, you're not allowed to pray in our schools, you're not allowed to have the Ten Commandments in our schools. And what we're teaching our young people in our schools in America today is, well, you decide. You have to learn how to make adult decisions. Now, how many of our young people who are 14 or 15 or 16 are able to make adult decisions without the guidance or without, the Ten Commandments or without knowing right from wrong? And yet, of course, we're being told everything is relative, there are no absolutes, and you learn how to make decisions. And what we need are young people who grow up in the fear of God, and when you have that, why you can have liberty. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, if you'd like to know how to get hold of Teen Challenge, there is a website. It's go to www.teenchallenge.com. Or if you're in the Chicago area, you'd like to get hold of them. Their telephone number is 773-772-2211. That's 773-772-2211. Although if you may be interested in it, you may need somebody who knows that needs this sort of help. That person has to be at a point where they are willing to give themselves over totally. They go in on their own. They have to work through this. They can leave if they want to, but if they do, they can't come back for 30 days. And, of course, if they are totally recalcitrant, what do you do with somebody who keeps leaving and then coming back and leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back?
Well, we had a problem with a revolving door for a while. And, it costs $550 to come into this program. And, a lot of these folks, they have to get sponsored to even get in here. So when they leave, I tell them, I say, you better think really hard about this before you make the decision, because it's going to cost you another $550 after 30 days if you want to come back. We used to let them come back for $50, and we found out that wasn't a big enough challenge for them. they could scrounge up $50 anywhere and head back, but they think twice before they leave now, because we raised it to another $550. If you leave here prematurely, then it's going to cost you another $550 to get in, and so I think that has slowed down. We've had less people leaving since we've put that rule in order, so I think that helped make some decisions, and also a lot of times churches are the ones who sponsors these folks to come in, and sometimes it's moms, dads, grandma, grandpas, friends. I think that it's very important that they know that, you are wasting somebody's money if you don't stay in the program and allow the program to start taking a part of your life, and so I think we've slowed down the exits that we used to have when we only had a $50 return policy.
Well, now, of course, this $550 that you charge where you are, that's for the whole program and for the up to a year?
That's for the whole program, yeah.
And that's pretty cheap, I know, because a lot of the secular programs are $5,000 a month, and they just don't work at all. So you can put out $5,000 a month for a program that doesn't work, or invest $550 for one time for a program that has an excellent chance of transforming someone's life. And truly a miraculous transformation, and when you see this happen to the lives of people, when you see the young people at the far end after they've come out of this with a smile on their face and that sense of self-confidence, and of course that confidence, that self-esteem that they have, it comes because they know the Lord, and they know the Lord is with them, that the Lord is giving them the power to resist. And there's nothing, I think, that gives you more self-esteem than to realize that you are a child of God. And, of course, that gives you the real self-esteem, not something that you learn in school that tells you how good you are.
It's an amazing thing. We take pictures of our guys when they come in, and then we take pictures after they graduate or they complete this 4 months here in our induction center. And it's a remarkable transformation. Usually most guys put on anywhere between 30 to 40 pounds when they're here the 4 months. I mean, they because we feed these guys real well, and they eat a lot. So It's amazing when you stop doing all the drugs and abusing your body on drugs and alcohol. Also, they're not allowed to smoke cigarettes here. So, I mean, they got to go cold turkey quitting cigarettes, and it's amazing what happens to the taste buds whenever they're not being dulled by nicotine. But it's an amazing thing to watch the transformation. But the greatest transformation is the attitudes and all the changes of their actions and the way they deal with things. And it's amazing to watch God take over their lives. And where they used to cuss and swear and have anger problems, God has taken care of all those areas. And not that they've become perfect, but God is working on them.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a few moments here at Trader Liberty. And if you have a question, why, don't hesitate to call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Pastor Ray Barnett, who's with the Team Challenge, a unit in back there in the windy city of Chicago. And, of course, the whole idea is you replace the longing for drugs with the love of Jesus Christ and the realization that you have to do what you're supposed to do. A lot of these young people have been raised with no basic discipline, and the worst thing you can do is raise a child without discipline, raise them without any sense of self-restraint, but even more than that, raise them without a sense of the knowledge of God. It doesn't matter, you know, whether his parents know what he's doing, but God will know what he's doing. And of course, if you can actually get people, young people, to understand that, why, you can transform their lives. And, you know, with an 80%, pretty close to an 80% success rate on the young people who get through the entire program, that is really remarkable.
It is remarkable.
And certainly there's nothing that the psychiatrists have that will come anywhere close to paralleling of what they can do. The psychiatrists will charge a fantastic amount of money. And here, of course, you get a year's living for $550. In fact, in some areas, they don't even charge that, do they? Or
no.
Is it sort of individual?
Yes, it varies in different areas. Here in Chicago, it's a little different because we're right in the middle city of Chicago, and the cost of living is very high here. But you know, that $550 it don't last long. Believe me, I mean over a 4-month period.
And of course, the important thing is you're actually transforming lives, and you
exactly
see these young people that you know otherwise would be totally hopeless. And if you you know, there are these Teen Challenge places all over the country. There are about 500 of them. If we have people elsewhere across the country listening, how would they get in touch with Teen Challenge?
Well, you can get in touch with the National Teen Challenge. You can go to their website, which is www.teenchallenge.com. And I've got their phone number. Their phone number is 417-862-6969. That's 417-862-6969.
All right, fine. And so if you call that number, while you'll find who it is in your area who's involved with Teen Challenge. And, of course, they'll be able to let you know and get you to the local area. Teen Challenge in your area. I know we have one here in the Monterey Bay area where I live, and they've been doing a great job for many years. And rather than go to a secular program that is doomed to failure, why, you turn to the Lord and you have a good chance of success. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I guess this evening is Pastor Ray Barnett, and again, that number, if you want to call on a national level, is 417-862-6969. That's 417-862-6969. And I, you know, my my personal experience with this, I like to tell the story. When I was first in medical practice, and the old county hospital in the area where I live, and I was, of course, orthopedic surgeon there. And one afternoon, I got a call from the doctor who was in the emergency room there, and he said he had a young man who had a compartment syndrome. A compartment syndrome is where the part of the extremity swells, and we used to see this not uncommonly in the legs. And if you don't go in and decompress them, why, the muscles all die, and you get simply a paralysis. But this doctor in the emergency room was calling and telling me that he had a young man with a compartment syndrome of the arm. Well, I'd never seen a compartment syndrome of the arm. I'd never even really knew they existed. And I was a little irritated. I was in the middle of a busy office, and I had a lot of patients waiting. And he said, "We've got this young man out here. He's got a compartment syndrome of his arm, and you've got to come out to see him." Well, the last thing I wanted to do was go out and leave my practice full of all these patients sitting there anxiously waiting to be seen. And I said, "Well, are you sure it's a compartment syndrome?" And the thing about a compartment syndrome, it's an emergency. You have to decompress that immediately, because within a very few hours, the muscles begin to die. Well, he insisted I come out. I went out to the hospital, and sure enough, it was a compartment syndrome. And what had happened is this had been a very, very successful architect. And he'd gotten on to intravenous drugs, and he'd ended up losing his business and losing his home and losing his wife and family. And he'd gotten, you know, into mainlining drugs, and of course, ordinarily they inject the artery. And he was so full of drugs, he accidentally injected the artery. Pardon me. Ordinarily they inject the vein. He injected the artery, and everything had gone into spasm in his arm, and he had a full blown compartment syndrome. And so we have to go in when you see this. It's a surgical emergency. You take him immediately to the operating room, and you just slit open the skin, the fascia, and, of course, you have the muscles laying out on the front and back of the forearm. But it's the only way you save the arm. Well, what happened was that, you know, we, of course, elevate the arm, and then sometime later you go back in and you close the skin, and you know, the patient then can go on with their life. But it's a long, detailed procedure, difficult to do, but it's a matter of simply letting the muscles get the swelling go down. So the mother came to me, and she told me about her son, and she said, "You've got to do something about him." And I said, "Well, you know, what can I do? I'm an orthopedic surgeon. We could send him to a psychiatrist." And she said, "Well, he's been to a psychiatrist. It hasn't helped him. He's lost his wife. He's lost his family. He's lost his children. He's lost his job. You've got to do something." So, well, this was back in the early 1960s, and I'd read the book by David Wilkerson. Now, David Wilkerson formed Team Challenge many, many years ago. And it was a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm sure you know the book, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And it's required reading here.
Well, it was required reading. I didn't know what to do. So I just said, I had a copy, and so I took it into this young man. He's laying there in bed with, of course, he's looking up at his arm, and here the, you know, muscles are all hanging out there. And I said, "You read this book, and I'm not going to sew you up until you read the book." So he read the book. And, you know, I could tell it had a tremendous impact on him. I had the minister, the chaplain of the hospital, go in and talk to him and counsel him about, you know, going into a program like very similar to Teen Challenge. And eventually he did. I showed him up. He went to a program, and whether it was Teen Challenge or one identical to it, I'm not certain. But he turned his whole life around. And eventually, you know, became a useful member of the community. And he sent me the very beautiful letter of thanks for what we'd done. But I saw really what could be done with these people, but they had to be at the bottom. I mean, there was nothing else they could do. There was no other place he could turn other than the Lord. And that's really the situation so many of these people are in, isn't it?
Yes. Most of the fellows that come here to Chicago, Teen Challenge, most of them have depleted just about every option. They burn every bridge behind them. So, you know, they're here in desperation. And, you know, when you're desperate, you're going to reach for just about anything you can reach for. And thank God that through God's power and through many turns of events. You know, it's amazing how many times we see guys come in here and it's only God that has led them here. I tell the guys, I said, you're here under the awesome will of God. God has you here for this time and this purpose to change your life and let God completely turn you around. But we see men come here totally broken, totally, their lives are in such disarray. Many of them they've been on parole or on probation, and many of them have violated their parole or probation, and they're just a mess, and their lives are completely out of control. But thank God that Teen Challenge is here to pick up pieces and to lead them in a direction that will bring them to relationship with God. And that's what Teen Challenge is all about, is bringing a man or a woman to a place of relationship with the Lord, because we know it's not a religious thing. It's not religion. It's a relationship that they need with God. And that personal relationship with Jesus Christ changes their life.
And, Chris, how large a staff do you have? How many people do you have in your unit? How large a staff do you have to help you?
Right now we have 12 staff, and we have right now 36 men in our facility. We have room for 50 men. And, you know, usually this time of year, a lot of guys feel they can make it out there because it's warm. They can many times sleep under park benches or you know, sleep in areas without heat. But once it starts getting a little chilly, we fill up quickly here. So usually we get 50 guys plus.
But, you know, with almost an 80% success rate, there's just nothing like this at all. The modern medicine, with all of its intelligence, psychiatry, with all of its learned physicians and men with degrees, can't touch
exactly
what the Word of God can do. This is the most amazing thing. Well, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this is one of the most worthy of all the things I know. I know my wife and I have supported this, the local Teen Challenge here in years past. I don't know whether we're still doing it or not. My wife, you know, we actually take a certain amount of our income and it goes into a fund, and it just goes out on a monthly basis. At the end of the year, there's nothing in the fund, and it goes for our church for a tithe, and then of course we contribute to all these others. And I know in the past we've always contributed to Teen Challenge because we thought it was really such an important thing. Well, we've got Ron calling from Richland, all right, so let's go to Ron here. Hi, Ron, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I want to commend your guest, and especially his mentor, David Wilkerson. I've read his book. I read it when I was just a wee lad. And,
wasn't that a wonderful book?
Yes, sir, it was a wonderful book. So I had a couple of questions.
Okay, fine.
In this politically correct atmosphere today, first, does Teen Challenge accept any government funding?
Did you get the question? Do you accept any government funding?
We do accept government funding, but it's limited. We will not compromise our ministry here with funding that's going to put restrictions upon our ministry. We don't want the government to come in and tell us what we can and cannot preach and teach here in this ministry. So they're very limited. Our government funding is very limited right now.
Okay, any other questions, Ron?
Yes, sir. I would imagine that you guys take strong stands against sexual immorality.
Yes.
What about some of the sexual anarchists and sodomites and such? I would imagine you're quite unpopular with them.
What was that again?
Well, I think he's talking about some of the homosexuals that activists who might be opposed to what they're doing. I would think that the homosexuals would want anything that would help.
Because sure. We've had homosexuals in this program, and, you know, we've had some success with it. We've had we've had, I couldn't tell you what percentage of success we've had with, but we have had homosexuals here. And we have had homosexuals who have completed this program and are members of churches and leaders in churches right now. So, you know, they were delivered from their homosexuality.
And homosexuality is really a spiritual thing, Ron.
Yeah.
Until people understand that there's a spiritual component to everything in the world today.
Sure. Yeah. God doesn't hate the homosexual. He doesn't approve of the sin of homosexuality, but he loves the sinner.
Yes, he loved me. Well, thank you very much, sir, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Ron. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, since we probably have some listeners back there in Chicago, is there any place that people could write, or if they wanted to contribute to what you're doing and help support it or learn more about it?
Sure.
What would they do? Would they call that 773-772-2211 number?
Yes, they can do that. Or if they want to send, let's say they want to send a contribution in, they could send it to Teen Challenge, Illinois, Chicago Center. And our address here is 3601 West Cortland Street. That's Cortland. And it's Chicago, Illinois, 60647.
60647. All right, fine. Give that address one more time.
Okay,
because in radio, you have to give it twice for the people to get their pen.
All righty. It's TCI Chicago, and it's 3601 West Cortland. And I guess you could put Cortland Street, Chicago, Illinois. 60647.
All right, fine. If you didn't get that, well, you can give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And I'm sure Herman's got that written down. Herman's on the board tonight. But one of the great miracles of Christianity is to see transformed lives. Now, I've seen the lives of doctors I've worked with who were, you know, just the meanest, really sort of angry people. And once they came to know the Lord, their life just changed. They were truly transformed. And I'm sure you see the miracle worked out in the lives of these people on drugs. And so many of the people that I've met through the years on drugs have really been very capable people. They're like alcoholics. They have a tremendous potential.
Sure.
Many of them are well-educated. And then, of course, living in a life without God, really, if you look at life, in many ways, it's sort of like, well, it's hopeless desperation. I mean, why bother to live here for, you know, 70 years, and if there is no God, if there's no purpose in life other than simply, you know, living it up and physical pleasure and sex and drugs. And so, but when there is a God, there's a purpose in life, and you know that you're a very special person, and that realization transforms your whole outlook. And you really see miracles all the time, don't you, Ron?
We see miracles on a daily basis, and that's one of the great benefits of this ministry and working in this ministry, is that you see the worst of the worst, and where society has literally washed their hands of these people, and you see them come into this ministry, and you can see day by day, you observe, you know, the hand of God on a man's life or a woman's life as they go through this program, as they accept Christ as their personal Savior, and as they begin to be discipled and understand their purpose is not their purpose any longer, but it's God's purpose in their life.
And people can leave this program and become useful members of society, and we've seen them right here in our own ministry come up and you know, do the radio programs, and then go off and get married and become successful and worthwhile citizens. And this truly is a wonderful, wonderful and rewarding thing to see transform lives. And the only thing that's really going to transform a life, I believe, is the healing power of Jesus Christ.
That's the only thing. That's the only thing. We see it every day. We talk to these men. We hear it every day from them that nothing worked. We tried everything, and we're going to surrender our lives to God and see what happens. And God never fails. He's always there. He's always faithful. He always changes that life. And so that's what Teen Challenge is all about. That's exactly what this ministry is about, is transformed lives.
It's really one of the most, well, it's only the religiously based programs that really are able to accomplish this. And of course, there may be other similar programs, but this is one that's tried and true, and it's been around, I guess, for well over 40 years now, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's been around now for 46 years.
And, of course, it all started with David Wilkerson. Yeah. And for those of you out in the audience who haven't read his book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and then there's a subsequent one to that, it's called Nicky Cruz. And didn't actually Nicky Cruz run that, write the book himself?
Yeah, it was called Run, Baby, Run.
Run, Baby, Run.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
Yeah, that's Nicky Cruz.
And they're well worthwhile reading. They give you tremendous insight, into this life of total frustration that so many of our young people in the inner city are in. And, of course, so many of the young blacks are into this type of life. I suppose it's a spreading of the Hispanic community as well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We are here in Chicago. We're on the northwest side of Chicago in the Humboldt Park area. And this is all Hispanic area here. This is heavily Puerto Rican area.
Well, we've got Andrew on the line, and Andrew's calling from Chicago. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. I was wondering, is this a program exclusively for teens? I tuned in kind of late, or is this for teens and adults?
Go ahead and answer that
part. Okay. This is for, our program is for men 18-year-olds and up. Now, they do have programs in Teen Challenge for adolescents, and they're strictly for an adolescent program for 13-year-olds and some even 12-year-olds to 17. But this is an adult program for 18-year-olds and up.
But if you have a question, you can call the central headquarters.
Sure.
That's at 417-862-6969. But you're there in Chicago. Why don't you call 773-772-2211, and you can talk to somebody there in the program.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, Andrew, this program really works.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much.
And
so I know we've got a lot of listeners there in Chicago. I think it's WAUR that beams out all over Chicago. And what a wonderful opportunity to bring your message of this program that can actually transform lives. One of the greatest miracles we can see today is the transformation of a human life. Well, we've got just about 2 minutes or so before we've got to let you go. What are the messages you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
I'd just like to let anybody know if they have anyone that they know, loved one, friends, someone who's looking for a place to really get help. Maybe they're on drugs, alcohol. Maybe it's some other kind of life-controlling problem. It don't have to just be drugs and alcohol. We'll take anybody who has a life-controlling problem of any kind. It could be obsessive gambling. It could be a sexual addiction. You know, we are here, and we are here to serve the Chicagoland area and here in the city of Chicago. So all you have to do is give us a call. 773-772-2211. That's 773-772-2211. And there will be somebody at the end of that phone to help you.
All right, fine. We've got Bob calling in from Kennewick, Washington. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good evening, Doctor, and your guest. Sorry to bother you. Just quick question. Do you have some facilities up in Spokane, Seattle, Portland, in the Northwest here?
Yes, there is.
Or should I call this national number and find out more about that?
There is a program was in Seattle. As a matter of fact, I came from that program. I was there for 2 years as program director. I believe they're at Lake Stevens right now.
Okay.
They moved to Lake Stevens. But you can call the national number, and they will give you that number to that program.
And that's
for a man or a woman, because they do have women's programs in Washington also.
Good.
As a matter of fact, my daughter was in the one in Graham, Washington.
Oh, okay, yeah. Beautiful. And excuse me, but old man doesn't have too good to hearing. Are we spelling this T-E-E-M?
T-E-E-M, Teen Challenge.
T-E-A-M?
No, Go ahead.
Like a teenager.
Okay.
Teenager,
that's what I
thought, like a T-E-E-N.
Okay.
Very good.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, it's a wonderful program, and thanks very much for calling. And if any of you have, of course, any questions at all, you can go to the central number. It's 417-862-6969. If you're in the Chicago area, 773-772-2211. And if you can't figure out what to do, you can always get in touch with us here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we'll do the best we can to steer you in the right direction. They do a wonderful job. God bless you. Thank you for everything you're doing for the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and a little different than most of our programs, but it's such an important message, and I wanted to have the opportunity to have you all here. Pastor Ray Barnett from the Chicago a branch of Teen Challenge. They're serving the Lord, and as this is missionary work to some of the people who need it the most. In fact, America is the greatest missionary field I know of, because certainly if America goes down, the whole world goes down. And believe me, we are living in a post-Christian America. We have to do everything we can to reclaim it, and we're going to have to reclaim it one life at a time. So we do the best we can, realizing full well that the duty is ours, but the victory will be the Lord's. And with that as a background, I just want to mention to you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you listen to us on a regular basis and you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played on the battlefield, a cultural battlefield, an ideological battlefield, a political battlefield, but it's really a spiritual battle that is being enacted here today, a battle for the hearts and souls of mankind. And we can't do everything, but we can do something. And to Radio Liberty, we have an outreach to about 60 different means every single week. Our Saturday program goes to 35 stations. The rest of our programs reach another 25 stations. And certainly we, through internet, through shortwave, through regular radio, and through the miracle of satellite, we can reach people all across America. If you'd like to be part of our team, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we'd love to have you partner with us. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see the various items we carry there. We have all sorts of books and four tape sets and videos. Each one of them in some way ties into this spiritual battle, into the political aspect of the what's going on, the ideological, the financial, because this involves your finances as well. It involves every aspect of our being. America is under attack today. The plan is to wipe out the middle class, to impoverish our people, to destroy America, because at one time, America was the beacon of hope. America was the hope of Christianity throughout the world. We were the ones who were sending out missionaries all throughout the world, and now other countries are sending missionaries here, because, of course, they recognize that if America goes down, then Western civilization goes down, and the foundations of that will be undermined irreparably. I believe we're involved in a battle for the souls of men, and we have the unique opportunity of being able to reach out and point out to what's happening and try to convince some people, not only in the United States, but through the miracle of shortwave and internet, we reach people throughout the world. An understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes. So remember our website, it's www.radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters. We invite you to copy those newsletters, and they will give you insight into what's happening, and they cover a myriad of subjects. Or you can actually, if you don't want, you can actually purchase from us bound copies of our newsletters, but you can do that on your own if you want to with our permission. You have our permission to copy any of the tape sets we have, to copy any of the videos we have, as long as you're not making a profit by selling them, as long as you're just distributing them free of charge, you do this with our blessing, because that's how we're getting the message out all across America. We have a group in Southern California called Firefighters for Christ. they put out 100,000 tapes a month. Now, how many of those are Radio Liberty tapes, I don't know, but I know I meet people from all over the world who get free tapes from Firefighters for Christ. Of course, people usually donate and help them, and we thank them for having the confidence in what we do to utilize many times our material, and that's how we're expanding our influence with a very, very small ministry, but to other ministries, as we touch lives throughout the world. So we ask you to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty. We ask you to pray for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow evening, at the same time, we'll be back with you once again. May the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for a few minutes. We're having, hopefully, to have with us a political activist. Her name is Betty Cordoba, and I've known Betty for at least a decade. She's always been very active in Republican politics, and I see her at all the Republican meetings. But she tries to teach people about our Constitution. Now, as you know, you may or may not know, I've been a lifelong Republican. I believe in what the Republican Party stands for. My fear is that the leaders of the Republican Party do not believe in what the Republican Party is said to stand for. In fact, they use simply the veneer of saying they're pro-life and pro-family, and against big budget deficits and in favor of a balanced budget. You judge people not by what they say, but what they do. And when you see a Republican administration supposedly pro-life, finding ways to get money to pro-abortion groups and to International Planned Parenthood and to other groups, and oh my goodness, they get caught. Why, they always have an excuse, but they always find another means of accomplishing exactly that. And we find them championing family values and then putting homosexuals into key positions in the Defense Department and elsewhere. You begin to realize that there's a great deal of difference between what people say and what they do, and you judge them not by what they say, you judge them by what they do. So Betty's been on the front lines of this battle for a long time, and she works very hard to teach people about our Constitution. And until people understand the foundations of our freedom rest in the Constitution, unless they understand that for the first time in 6,000 years here in America, for a short period of time, there was a nation where people were as free as they have ever been. Of course, in any society made up of men, none of them work. But this was the most amazing country, imperfect because men are imperfect. But we had here an opportunity to limit the power of government over the lives of the people. And it lasted for, well, about 150 years. And then, as you might expect, the wicked and evil people began to take over positions of power. And using the wealth of the great tax-exempt foundations, using the wealth of the great corporations that had been absorbed by the people from the dark side, taking over our educational system, and then gradually taking over government, they've transformed America from a Christian nation into a post-Christian nation, and soon to become a third world nation with an authoritarian leadership. So Betty is out there trying to get people to understand the miracle of our Constitution. Betty Cordova, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stanley Monteith. It's a great honor to be on your program. I would like to say one thing at the beginning. I would like to quote Lord Acton, "Evil triumphs for the lack of effort on the part of the good men." And he would mean to say the good men and women. What we have to do in this country is to get more people involved, more people active, more people knowledgeable about our wonderful Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And then I feel that we will not be electing people who say one thing and do another. We will be electing true patriots. As you think we did for only 150 years, I kind of think we did that for 200 years, or quite close to 200 years. But we won't have any rancor or argument tonight, Dr. Stan. We'll just proceed to try to tell people a little bit more about the Constitution, right?
All right, that's what it's all about. And do you have that wonderful quotation that's on the back of the flyer that you put out from Daniel Webster? Do you have that handy?
Yes, I have it right in front of me. It's right here, and I'll give it specifically. Daniel Webster: "Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world." Daniel Webster. What insights he had, and how he understood how important the Constitution was. Because the Constitution lays out the power of government, which is not all-inclusive. And I'd like to tell my story of how I happened to be sitting reading the Constitution. Oh, I guess it was sometime in March, just less than 3 months ago. I was prepping for a speech I was going to give to some members of the Thai community. That's the people who have immigrated to America and are here legally, and who are citizens, and they're from Thailand in Asia, as I'm sure you all know, but I just thought I'd review that. And I came upon three specific statements in the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8 and 10. Oh, I meant to tell the listeners that they should get a pencil and paper, because there are several things I'm going to want them to write down as I proceed. So I'll just stop just a moment and explain that I live in North San Diego County, and we are being inundated with illegal immigrants. My husband's parents were born in Spain. I have a Spanish surname. I am not anti-Hispanic. I am anti-illegal immigration, because we taxpayers in the state of California are paying notoriously large amounts of money for the education, health, welfare, and even for some illegals being incarcerated. We're paying all those costs in addition to the costs and the citizenship that is provided to families of what we call anchor babies. That's when the mother is about ready to deliver a baby, maybe say like within a week, and she's quickly rushed across the United States border, and if that baby is born here, that baby is automatically a citizen and the parents get to stay. Well, I guess by now I think everybody's had time to grab their pencil and paper, so let me go with some specificity in the Constitution. In Article 1, Sections both 8 and 10, and then again in Article 4, Section 4, there are three references to the following words. I'll give them in chronological order. In Article 1, Section 8, Congress is given the duty to repel invasions. In Article 1, Section 10, the Constitution says no state can engage in war unless actually invaded. And the last one, the third one, Article 4, Section 4, the U.S. shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Yes, we do not have a democracy. We have a republican form of government because we send our representatives to Washington to represent us, the people. And continuing on in the reading, the U.S. shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government, and the U.S. shall protect each state against invasion. So those three operative words were, in chronological order, invasions, invaded, and invasion. There are two subcommittees of the House Judiciary Committee. You'll want to write down House Judiciary Committee. That is a very important committee of the House of Representatives. And I would say there are about, I think it's about 17 or 18 congressmen on that committee. That committee itself has two subcommittees. One subcommittee is called the Constitution Committee, and that has about 15 congressmen on that committee. And another subcommittee is called the Immigration, Border Control, and Claims Committee. That also has about 15 members. Now I'm going to give you the names of those three committee chairmen. The head of the House Judiciary Committee, which is a very strong, powerful committee, that's Congressman James Sensenbrenner, S-E-N-S-E-N-B-R-E-N-N-E-R, first name James. The congressman who is the head of the Constitution Committee, and I must tell a funny little story in a minute or two, not right away, about how I happened upon that committee. His name is Congressman Steve Chabot, C-H-A-B-O-T. I'm sort of giving it the French pronunciation. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing it correctly. It may be Shabbat, but I sort of call it Chabot. And then the third committee chairman of the Immigration, Border Control, and Claims Committee. I don't know why the word claims comes in there, but that's the full name of the committee, Immigration, Border Control, and Claims Committee. That is Congressman John Hostetler, H-O-S-T-E-T-T-L-E-R. Now, all three of those congressmen, Sensenbrenner, Chabot, or Shabbat, and Hostetler, should receive a letter from you. Even though you live in California and they're not your congressman, send them a letter and tell them, refer them to Article 1, Sections 8 and 10, Article 4, Section 4, and tell them that they are responsible for stopping this invasion that we have of illegal immigrants, and what are they going to do about it, and when are they going to do something about it. We need to give them our mandate as the people of the United States of America. We need to tell them to get busy and do their job.
But, of course, Betty, there are powerful forces like the Ford Foundation and some of the other great tax foundations that are encouraging immigration, that give the millions, countless millions of dollars to MulDave and LULAC and the other organizations you know, that support illegal immigration and the violation of our laws. And, of course, all they have to do is go after the Ford Foundation, but nobody back in Congress has the courage to do that. Anybody would like to get into the background of how this whole program is being supported? We have a wonderful book called Importing Immigration. It goes into the Ford Foundation and its efforts to undermine the fabric of our society. And the other is a wonderful video. I bet Betty's seen it. It's called The Conquest of Aztlan by the Glenn Spencer. Have you seen that one, Betty?
I know of it. I haven't read it. I'm more of an article reader and a newspaper reader, and I don't get... I used to read a lot of books. You know, I read Dan Smoot. I read John Stormer. I read Phyllis Schlafly's books. I still read Phyllis Schlafly's newsletters because she's really on top of everything. She's a lady who is, for those that don't know, the listeners that don't know, she and her husband raised six children. And then she went to law school when she was, I think, in her 50s. She's now in her mid-70s. She has a law degree, and she's very brilliant, and she's a true patriot a wonderful, wonderful wife, mother, and patriot. To the best of my knowledge, she's never had a working position, you know, as a teacher or a librarian or something like that, but she's always worked because she's written books and researched and studied issues and really has a wealth of information to share with the American public.
Well, I wouldn't say she doesn't work. She heads one of the most successful organizations in America today. It's known as Eagle Forum.
Right. Eagle Forum is her group. Well, what I meant was she didn't, in addition, have a paid position like I did. I'm a non-striking, anti-forced union teacher, retired from 30 years of teaching in the L.A. Unified School District. So in addition to my 47 years of political activism as a Republican, and I'm going to stay a Republican because I know all the negatives about people and the Republican Party, but I have decided that I have to stay in a party, work in a party, not waste my vote on a candidate who does not have a chance to win. And the name of the winner after November 2nd will either be George W. Bush or John Kerry, and I obviously prefer George W. Bush. I'll just make that statement. Now, you may disagree with me, Dr. Stan, but that is my statement. I want to tell a little bit about why I happen to be going to give a speech on the Constitution. I'm the treasurer for a little group that Joseph Andrews and several other people and I formed about 8 years ago. Excuse me for that noise on the telephone. I accidentally hit one of the buttons. In 1996, we formed the Center for Teaching the Constitution. We live in San Marcos, California, and our president, Joseph Andrews, teaches classes in the Constitution, his time permitting. He has a large family, and he's an engineer by profession, and he teaches physics at the local junior college. So he's a busy gentleman, but when he can, he will offer adult classes. And sometimes in those classes will come Eagle Scouts who are working, young Boy Scouts who are working toward their Eagle Scout badge. Sometimes homeschoolers will come, you know, teenage homeschoolers will be in the class. And they're excellent classes. I took the first class that he gave, and that was about, probably 7.5 years ago. And we have disseminated just an untold amount of information because occasionally I will have letters to the editor in newspapers, and then people will put a dollar bill wrapped in a piece of paper and send it to me and get our little Declaration Constitution booklet. We have textbooks for sale, Common Sense by Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was a young man who had recently come to America from England, and Benjamin Franklin noticed that he had a very good style of writing, and he said, "You need to write a short book, Mr. Paine, about why Americans should be on the side of going for independence." Because when we fought the Revolutionary War, about a third of the citizens, there were far less citizens then than there are now, about a third wanted to just stay under British rule, a third wanted to go for independence, and the last third really didn't give a hoot. They couldn't have cared less whether we stayed with the British or went for independence. So anyway, Thomas Paine wrote this very successful book called Common Sense. It's like a primer when you're going to start studying about the early days in our country. We also have copies of the Federalist Papers written by John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, and James Madison. And that's a series of about, wait, I'm going to get that exact number. I have that right here in our brochure because we have a brochure that we send out. 85 essays. I couldn't quite remember if it was 85 or 58. It's 85 essays that were written in 1787 by those three gentlemen I mentioned, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, and they were explaining to the citizenry the meaning of the Constitution. And Madison, of course, is called the father of the Constitution, and he had a lot to say in the Federalist Papers. And then we have audio tapes, and then our president, who teaches our Constitution classes, he has written a study guide, and that is just absolutely superb, to say the least. And he likes to utilize the founders' classical learning methods. And he teaches about the Constitution and the Declaration just the way the founders, you know, expounded their theories. So those are the things that we have for sale. And the most reasonable, of course, is our little Constitution Declaration booklet. Of course, we all know that the Declaration came first, and that is highlighted in this little booklet. It's a booklet that would fit in a woman's purse, and it would fit in the inside of a man's coat pocket, and they only cost a dollar, and I've had, I can't tell you, hundreds of people just wrap up a dollar bill in a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, address it to the Center for Teaching the Constitution at P.O. Box 5118, San Marcos, California, and the zip code there is 92079, and they'll just say, please send a Declaration Constitution booklet, or they just put a D for Declaration / C for Constitution booklet, and then they tell me their name and address, and off it goes in the mail, either the same day or the very next day after I receive their letter. And we've gotten those out over the past 7 or 8 years to just, well, it's beyond hundreds, it's thousands of people. Because we hear from a lot of people. I was on a radio program in the Midwest, and I had mail from 12 states, totaling almost 50 people. So I thought that was quite good for being on a radio show in the Midwest for about a half an hour. I think I'll catch my breath now, Stan, and perhaps you'd like to say something. I hear some music in the background.
You hear music in the background. Well, that means we're about ready to go to our first break, and so we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Betty Cordova. We will invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. One of the big problems today is that most people do not understand the Constitution. They haven't studied it. They don't understand that America was founded by Christians as a Christian country. Certainly our laws were based on Christianity, but you'd never know it today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Betty Cordova. And Betty is doing everything she can to get people to understand the Constitution. Now, we have actually put together a 10-point program. People often ask me what you can do. And I always tell them, well, the first thing is, you better have a personal relationship with the Lord, because if you get into this battle, which is truly a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and you try to fight this thing on your own without God's support, or without being able to rely upon Him, you'll be destroyed. And I've been at this game for 42 years, and I can't tell you how many lives I've seen wrecked by people who tried to take a stand against the forces of evil which are aligned against us with their own power, and you just can't do it.
Right.
You've got to rely upon the Lord. And so that's point number one. But number two is what Betty is doing. And that is, of course, learning the foundations of our freedom, learning about the Declaration of Independence, learning about the Constitution, learning about the Federalist Papers, which Betty talks about, written by James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and John Day. And then, of course, learning about the Bill of Rights. And those are the four pillars upon which America stands. And they are being progressively eroded by the people within our courts who have a different agenda and who would destroy this country because, well, they have a different worldview. Their ultimate goal is the destruction of American sovereignty, the creation of a new world order or one world government and a new world religion. So, basically, as you've heard me say so many times, a spiritual battle. So, Betty, why don't you pick up there now? You've got your breath back.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. Yes, Dr. Stan is completely right. This is God's battle. We have to be in line with His will and His wishes and be dedicated to Him to really move forward. I'm very blessed that I was raised by a Baptist mother and a Methodist father, and I got to pick whichever church I wanted to go to, and we lived in many different places because my dad was transferred about every 4 years. He was a Navy chemist. And so I have attended many different Protestant denomination churches. Now our son is a Catholic convert, and I'm even learning a great deal about Catholicism and have been for quite a number of years because he converted when he was in his, yes, he was in his 20s, and he's now two or three decades later. One of the books that we have, I forgot to tell you about, was Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America. Now, obviously, you can tell by his name that he was a French, he was French. He came from France to visit America in about the 1830s. And that was about 40 years after George Washington first took up his presidency, and he wrote a book called Democracy in America, and he made a beautiful statement. He said, America is great because American people are good. If they cease to be good, I'm not sure that America will still be great. Well, that is so applicable to today when we have so much immorality, asininity. I want to use that word because all you have to do is go around the television dial and you'll see lots of asininity. When I get to where I see, I'm going to mention his name, when I get where I get to see this man with the long hair, and then over on the right is a young lady, and part of her body is blipped out. We can't see it because she's sitting there uncovered, and his name is Howard Stern. I just don't know what on earth the American people...
Hold that thought, Betty. We've got to bring our stations back with us.
Sure. Very good.
Okay. This is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Betty Cordova, and she's been talking about our Constitution and, of course, the work they're doing. She was talking about Alexis de Tocqueville, who was the French philosopher who came to America in the 1830s, and then in 1840 wrote the book Democracy in America, and it said one of the things he had found looking at America is he sought for the source of our greatness and goodness. It wasn't until he went into the pulpits of America and found the pulpits blazing with righteousness did he understand the source of America's greatness. And then he went on to say, America's great because America's good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And then, of course, Betty was talking about Howard Stern on television, and, of course, the degrading presentation, the demoralization of our people, and the fact that this would be allowed on the airwaves. Now, at one time, we had the ability through our local community to censor, and this was perfectly acceptable. The First Amendment limited the power of the central government, but not the ability of the local government to do anything at all. But then in the name of freedom, we had to take away the power from the states. And, of course, supposedly the federal government was going to take care of things. Well, of course, they allowed moral anarchy because that's what it was really all about. Remove the power from the states to be able to control the various moral issues, and you end up with centralized anarchy. And then, of course, when liberty leads to a loss of order, then eventually the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty, and that's exactly what they want. But right now, they're letting immorality run its course in the Howard Sterns of the world, corrupting the morals of our youth. But they don't really need too much help. They're doing it in our schools. We're in kindergarten. They're teaching people about homosexuality and about sexuality. Why are they doing it? They know what they're doing. They want to corrupt our youth. They're doing a great job. And this is all being pushed by organizations like CECUS and certainly Planned Parenthood. And their objective is the moral degradation of our society. They're succeeding. And the churches refuse to speak out against it. Oh, they wouldn't want to take your children out of a government school because they might offend somebody by doing it. And if Christians aren't offensive, then they're not adhering to the teachings of our Lord. Go ahead, Betty.
Yes, the man I was going to mention was Howard Stern, and I get to that channel, and I have to move right on to the next channel if I'm channel surfing because he is so repugnant to me. Even to look at him is, I find, offensive, just totally offensive, and he should not be allowed on the airways, in my opinion. Years ago, it must have been, I would say, 10, 11 years ago, there were two books making the rounds that were being used in some, not all, but some schools. One was called Heather Has Two Mommies, and the other was called Daddy's Roommate. And Heather Has Two Mommies was a little girl named Heather, and of course she had two mommies because they were ladies of the lesbian belief. And Daddy's Roommate was that Daddy moved out away from Mommy and went to live with his man friend because he was of the homosexual persuasion. And I got a group of about 15 to 18 people, several black pastors, and we went to the San Diego Board of Education, and we all spoke. There were about 18 of us that spoke, and we said we just didn't think these books belonged in the school. Well, we got the usual wishy-washy, mamby-pamby retort from the San Diego City Board of Education members, and the books were not in every school at the time. They were in some schools, and we didn't keep track of it. We made our protest. We took, you know, that much energy to go and do that, and I don't think any of us have kept up on what has happened, but I'm sure that there are more books and more schools now than there were 10 or 12 years ago. Another thing I wanted to discuss is, I'm going to get the name probably a little bit wrong because it's hard to get all these names, but you know, we all know in Europe how we have the European Union, and many of the European countries have lost their individual identity because they now belong to the European Union, and they've lost their form of currency that they had for, you know, just many, many, many years. Now they're trying to impose, we have NAFTA, and we have GATT, and we have WTO, but now they're trying to impose the free trade, and this is, Dr. Stan, you'll help me with what the two A's stand for, free trade of the Americas Association.
Association of the Americas, right.
Association of the Americas, okay, I had a little bit backward. And that is going to put Canada, the United States, Mexico, Central America, and South America in a borderless area, and I hear that music. Does that mean you need to take a break?
That means we're going to have to take a break here.
That's fine. No, I'm catching on now.
Okay, fine. This is Betty Cordova. We're talking about what's happening in America. America is in real trouble because the people who are in positions of power have no loyalty to America. NAFTA, World Trade Organizations, all means of doing away with our national sovereignty. And believe me, when we have a one-world government, everybody won't be as free as the American people. The American people will be as free as everybody else is in the world.
Shall I begin again, Dr. Stan?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Betty Cordova. And Betty, you can go ahead now.
Yes, and I probably will need your help on expostulating a little bit further on this Free Trade Association of the Americas. But I do know this, that there will be no borders from Canada to the southernmost end of South America, and people will be able to move freely. Well, already we have innumerable illegal immigrants who have come to this country to basically to just get to be freeloaders. In fact, a law has been passed in California saying that illegal immigrants can get reduced college tuition wages, but if somebody comes to California to go to college from the state of Nebraska, I will say, they don't get that same reduction. They're not able to pay in-state tuition fees. They have to pay out-of-state tuition fees, and they are born here and are legal citizens. That is totally improper and wrong. So if we get people coming from Canada, Mexico, Central and South America, pretty soon, well, it's just not going to, we're not going to be able to sustain our government.
Well, of course, but you ever think that, Betty, that's exactly what they intend? That's exactly what the Ford Foundation and the other people who are funding this whole illegal immigration movement want? If we don't accept the fact that these people know exactly what they're doing, their purpose is to destroy America, and then we can't be effective in the battle. If we just point out what's happening, and we don't point out that there is an agenda behind it, and when you understand the agenda, it all makes sense. If you know anything about the history of the Ford Foundation and about Henry Ford, then of course everything puts into place. And of course, to understand Henry Ford, you have to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and find out that Henry Ford funded and supported Adolf Hitler. He funded and supported communism, and he was a very high level of a secret society, rewarded for his fine patriotic activities and helping to fund both the Nazis and the communists. But the average, pushing anti-Semitism in the United States as well. But you have to understand that there really are forces that know exactly what they're doing. The one thing is they do not want the American people to know it. And if I could suggest one book, it's called Brotherhood of Darkness. It will give you an understanding of so much that you will never get from Rush Limbaugh, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, or from Bill O'Reilly. Go ahead, Betty.
Yes, well, you won't get too much from Tom Brokaw or one of the other ones you mentioned. Not Rush, not Bill O'Reilly, but the other one you mentioned. You won't get too much good stuff from either of those two. Dan Rather. You won't get too much good stuff from Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, I'm afraid there. Except Tom Brokaw did write a very good book that I purchased for my husband.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Yes.
Yes, Tom Brokaw did write a very, very good book. Actually, there's two books. One is The Greatest Generation. The other is The Story of His Life. And they're great, great books. They're very touching books. But you have to see, he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Oh,
he goes
yeah.
along with their agenda. And maybe he does that simply because that's how he gets ahead in the world. Well, you know, if a lot of people will compromise anything for personal advantage.
Yes,
I think you have to stand for what's right, because when freedom's at stake, why, you know, this is not, silence is not golden, silence is yellow. Go ahead.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and Brotherhood of Darkness, your book, I'm ashamed to admit this, I own it, I have not read it because of time problems, you know, just not getting the right amount of time and the right frame of mind at the time. But I'm going to get to it one of these days. However, I have read, as I said, I used to read books, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago more extensively than I read books now, because I find myself, since I have been so involved in this Constitution group, plus many other things I do, I've been president of my local Republican Women's Clubs 3 different years. I have served on the San Diego County Republican Central Committee for 12 years. I just ended that 12-year commitment 2 years ago. I've been on the State Republican Committee for 30 years, and so I've been busy with a lot of Republican functions, and I'm there as a conservative to try to bring conservative ideas. I have had a wonderful week, sad but wonderful, reviewing all the wonderful things that former President Reagan did. I was a Reagan appointee for 6 years, not on a full-time basis because I was teaching school, but I would go to Washington, D.C. 4 times a year, and I was given the honor of being elected chairman of a 20-member group. It was a council of the Department of Education, and we did some very fine work in the council, and we only met 4 times a year, but we worked together for 6 years, from 82 to 88. I had met Ronald Reagan when a friend of mine and I started an initiative in California to ban all public employee strikes. Some of you listeners might remember that. That occurred in 1978. And we almost got enough signatures to have it go on the ballot. We were very, very close, but, you know, we didn't hit the goal that we had to have achieved. I want to go back now and repeat the address again, because I hope that some of your listeners, Dr. Stan, will please contact me and order a little Constitution booklet. We have a new revised booklet, a fine picture of George Washington on the front cover. He's holding a quill pen in his hand, and on the desk next to him is also a quill pen in a container. And it says, "The Constitution of the United States, its only keepers, the people, George Washington." And everybody needs to get this little booklet for $1. My goal is to have one in every woman's purse in America and in every man's inner jacket pocket. And if he is not wearing a jacket, then he can just leave the little Constitution Declaration booklet in his car, either on the seat next to him or in the glove compartment. I will permit that. I'm kidding. But everybody should send $1 to the Center for Teaching the Constitution. Now, if you don't want to write that out, just put CTC, Center Teaching Constitution. Just put CTC, P.O. Box 5118, San Marcos, California, 92079. And when I send you your Constitution booklet, you will also get our brochure, which lists all our other books and audio tapes and our study guide and de Tocqueville's book that will be available for you. So you'll guarantee, you don't have to mention, send me a brochure, because I automatically send that whenever anyone wants to order a Constitution booklet. Now, some people in my last radio show, they sent me a $10 check, and they wanted 10 booklets. Well, what they didn't know, because they didn't have the brochure yet, was that when you order 10 booklets, they're only 75 cents each, so they got 13 booklets. And I think they were probably very surprised when they opened their envelopes and 13 booklets fell out instead of 10, but then when they read the brochure, they would see why.
All right, Betty, what is that post office box one more time?
Yes, it's P.O. Box 5118, San Marcos, two words, S-A-N-M-A-R-C-O-S, California, 92079.
Okay, fine. That's Betty Cordoba, but CTC will be fine.
Yeah, CTC.
And Betty wants to get the information out. And it's important that people not only have a constitution, they understand the constitution, and they understand why it was written as it was, and it was to be a restrictive covenant. It was to limit the power of the central government, and the central government was to be active in only very limited spheres, and those are outlined in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and any powers not to be specifically dealt with there for the federal government were to be limited to the states and the people, as it says in the 10th Amendment. Well, we have a lot of people back in Washington, D.C., who really don't believe in limiting power. They want all power for themselves. They really don't care what happens to the country. We've got some of the finest politicians money could buy, and these people are violating the Constitution, as are our judges. That's because the average person really doesn't understand. That's why we have to educate people about the meaning of the Constitution, that liberty and limited government are synonymous, that the central authority, the Constitution, was a restrictive covenant, not on the people. It was a restrictive covenant that limited the power of the federal government, for as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the change of the Constitution. And, of course, he was then echoed the writings of John Locke, who'd said, that government governs best that governs the least. Could you imagine that being said by the people in Washington, D.C. today?
they would probably not believe that, it could or should be said. I see here on the back of my brochure that I'll be sending to everybody if they order a booklet, this is a Thomas Jefferson quote in 1816. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. In other words, you cannot be free if you're going to be ignorant. So please get your copy of the Constitution and the Declaration, and if you already have a copy that you just love, don't forget to look up Article 1, Sections 8 and 10, and Article 4, Section 4, and see those words, invasions, invaded, and invasion, and charge those committee chairmen of those two subcommittees and the one big committee, the House Judiciary Committee, to do something about these illegal immigrants, because we taxpayers are paying for their education, health, welfare, incarceration, and heaven only knows what else that we don't know about. And we're paying exorbitantly, and it must come to a screeching halt because the borders must be closed.
Well, you would think if we were really involved with a war on terrorism and the terrorists could come across the border there, we would be doing everything we could to stop this. And yet, of course, what we're doing is everything to encourage it by offering people coming in all sorts of benefits. I mean, after all, if you could get free health, education, and welfare, wouldn't you want to come to the land of milk and honey?
Milk and honey, that's it, the land of milk and honey. And I think we have become, I hate to say what I'm going to say, but I want the listeners to think on this. Instead of Uncle Sam, we have become Uncle Sap, S-A-P. We are fools to be thinking that we can take care of the whole world. We cannot. The world has, 6 billion people? Is that the correct statistic, Dr. Stan?
That's about the right number.
Yeah, 6 billion, and we cannot take care of the entire world.
Well, I don't know. We're over there trying to take care of the Middle East. We're going to try to just change the whole political situation in the Middle East, and from there, why we'll go elsewhere, because there are those who want an empire. And until people understand this belief in American empire, but this will ultimately destroy America as it destroyed Rome. And we should remember that George Washington cautioned against this, and not to get involved and entangled in other people's affairs, waging imperialistic wars, because, I mean, how many people honestly believe that Saddam Hussein was about to attack New York City? I mean, his country had been crippled by 10 years of consistent bombing. His people had been starving for 5 years. They were only getting a little natural food and medicine because of the oil for a food pact that had been passed. They destroyed two-thirds of the Iraqi army. You wonder what a great victory it was. The army had been destroyed. We'd killed almost 100,000 Iraqi soldiers in a turkey shoot on the road of death. Oh, you don't like to hear about that, but it happened. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and there is no reason for us to be involved in a war halfway around the world, bankrupting America, which we are doing, and of course freedom is lost when the financial stability of a nation is destroyed, and they're well on the way to destroying the financial stability of the dollar and destroying the hope of future generations. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question for Betty, who's trying to get people to study our Constitution, our founding documents, and understanding where is the foundation of our freedom.
Yes, Dr. Stan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was my turn again.
Your turn.
Not.
Right turn. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I hope that people realize that in addition to the little Declaration Constitution booklet, we also offer the Federalist Papers and Common Sense and audio tapes and then the study guide. But they will learn about all of that because I will send a brochure with anything they order. Now, if they just want to write me and not send any money, I wish they wouldn't do that, but they certainly have the right to do that. And just ask for a brochure, I'll send that out to them. But I would like to have them send $1, and then I'll send them the brochure and the Constitution Declaration booklet. We have a website. There's a couple of little mistakes on it. The Constitution Declaration booklet does not look like it looks on the website, because that was our one that we had 2 years ago, and now we have this new one with a picture of George Washington on the front. But our website is www.teachconstitution.org. There's one other mistake on our website, and I've just asked President Joseph Andrews to get that corrected, but he's out of town this week, and so I'm sure that he didn't get to it before he left to go out of town on business. The other mistake is that it talks about some classes coming up in November. Well, that was last November. Sorry about that. It's not this coming November. That was November of 2003. So those two mistakes are on our website. Please forgive us, and we will get those corrected. And I hope that I hear from lots of Dr. Stan's listeners, and I certainly enjoyed this time on Dr. Stan's program. And if you have any questions at all, I'm here probably for another few moments.
Well, wait a minute. If we have Nathan calling in from Contra Costa. Nathan, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to get your guest's comment on this.
I can't hear Nathan.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Right, go ahead.
I'd like to get your comment on this. It's just a general comment. We have we'll call it a layer cake, or an umbrella, or a hierarchy of value in America that must stand if America is to continue as a free constitutional republic. The very, very, very top level of that is divine revelation at Sinai, the Ten Commandments, the law, divine revelation as it binds in the various covenants of the world. The second layer of that would be that specific to us, actually really specific to all humankind, would be the Declaration of Independence, that all people are created equal. And specifically to America, the third layer under that would be the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we start either mixing the order of that or denying any of the three layers of that, I believe that we'll cease to be what we traditionally have been. Any erosion of that, any erosion of due process, any erosion of due process actually is essential to all three of them. So due process really is what we need to hold on to, and if we start losing that in the name of, quote, national emergency, end quote, we not only don't have a republic, we've negated one of the fundamental principles of divine law. And I'll take your response to that off the air. Thank you very much.
Right, fine. Thank you, Nathan. How would you respond to Nathan, who's basically saying that, we start out with the divine law of the Ten Commandments. From there, we go, of course, to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And if we, do away with any of these, why we eventually, of course, lose our whole concept of freedom. How would you respond to him?
Yes, I think he made some very valid points, and I like his analogy there. I think he called it like a, I don't know if he used the word cake, but he called it layers, with the divine at the top, and then the Declaration, and then the Constitution, and we must hold on to due process. Now, I may be erroneously reading between the lines. I have the feeling he possibly is having a little problem with accepting the Patriot Act, but I don't know that that was his undercurrent theme. Maybe I'm just, you know, reading that into it. But I think that he's right in that we need to keep these three layers of the Ten Commandments, the divine revelations, and then the Declaration, and then the Constitution. And I just have to interject this one thing. I was so thrilled to see on television the seal of the city of Los Angeles, where I lived for 42 years before I moved to San Diego County, has a little cross on it in one little part. The seal is kind of divided up into four or five parts, and there's a pagan goddess in the middle, and nobody's asking for her to be removed, but of course the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, is wanting to get that cross removed, and there were people, hundreds, lining the streets with placards, must have been down near the city hall, because the vote was 3-2 to get rid of the cross. I'm proud to say that I know one of the supervisors, Mike Antonovich, who voted to keep the cross there, and one other supervisor, and I'm sorry, I don't know that supervisor's name, also voted to keep the cross there, but three of them voted to take the cross off, you know, just cave into the ACLU. Well, you see, that's the kind of behavior that we have to stop, and that's why we have to elect good people, so that that type of behavior of caving into the ACLU comes to a screeching halt. But this is the first time on the news that I've ever seen anything protesting what the ACLU is doing, and I think that's a good sign. Now, Nathan, if you, I don't know if this is permissible, Dr. Stan, but if he wants to come on back on the line and see if I was possibly a little bit correct in the fact that he's a little upset about the Patriot Act.
Well, let's, Betty, how do you feel about the Patriot Act?
Well, I have mixed feelings. I have great faith in former Senator John Ashcroft, the current Attorney General, because I have met him. And I know he's a very close friend of Phyllis Schlafly's. Phyllis, I admire admirably.
But she is very upset about the Patriot Act.
Yes,
she is.
I know.
Very upset about it.
Yeah, I didn't know she was very. I knew she was somewhat upset.
Right, she's very upset about it. In fact, I've spoken and you know, about what's going on, and I'll never forget coming down off the podium and her making some remark about, well, that needed to be said. And, of course, there's not one word about Islamic terrorism in that act. And what they've done is the greatest power grab of all time. And I don't care whether John Ashcroft professes to be a Christian, and maybe he is a Christian, but if he believes in the Constitution, why would he be massively increasing the power of the central government over our lives? Would you really want to have Hillary Clinton have all of that power?
Well, I don't want Hillary Clinton to have any power.
Well, of course, but when you pass a law, you know, why, it's going to be there forever. It's very easy to pass laws that are terrible laws. If you don't need the ability to, you know, find out what people are reading, what textbooks they're reading from the library, why do you want the law to do it? John Ashcroft says why the law is unimportant, we've never enforced it. But, of course, if any librarian were to admit that they had enforced it, they'd send her to prison forever, because they've got stipulation in there that if you let anybody know that you've been contacted on these issues, they can throw you in prison.
Mm.
Now, why would they do that? What are they so afraid of?
That's way too harsh.
And why don't they talk about Islamic terrorism? Have you read the Patriot Act, Betty?
No, not in its entirety.
Well, then how can you support it if you haven't read it?
No, as I say, I have mixed feelings about it.
Well, I think it's very important.
I think it goes too far, but I think we need something to increase our security. Well, we need our borders closed. You see, that's how I started my whole premise this evening. Get these borders closed and stop these illegals from coming in here, which are going to ruin us as individuals and families financially, and it's also going to let terrorists in. In fact, I think a couple of weeks ago we heard on the news that they already know that there's X number of terrorists within our borders of the United States of America. And that couldn't have happened if we had had the borders closed.
But Betty, if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, I want you to think of this logically. If we're really involved in a war on terrorism, why haven't they closed our borders? Why do you think that they haven't done that?
Well,
if they're really involved in a war on terrorism, why haven't they insisted that all the pilots be armed? Why has the President Bush and John Ashcroft, who incidentally flies in a private jet, which you and I have to pay for, why haven't they insisted that all the pilots are armed? Why have they done everything they could to block it? Certainly, even Barbara Boxer, as bad as she is, wants the pilots armed because she has to fly on these commercial airliners, and so is Dianne Feinstein. They're in favor of arming the pilots, and yet John Ashcroft isn't in favor of it. Why is that?
Tell me this, has there been a vote in Congress about arming the pilots?
Yes, in fact, they've passed laws, law after law after law, and each time, why the Bush administration circumvents the law and, of course, does everything they can to block the pilots being armed. And it's been going on since September 11th of the year 2001, and now less than 2% of the pilots have gone through the program, and even if you do go through the program, they've made it so difficult, then most of the pilots won't even bother to try. So if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, why is it, you think, that they have not, for instance, got marshals or a couple of marshals on every plane? Why haven't they put these deflectors on our planes that would, deflect a surface-to-air missile if we're really involved in a war on terrorism? And why do they refuse to close the borders? Those are good questions,
yeah,
and I want you to think about those.
Yes, well, the bottom line is, I guess we're really not involved in a war against terrorism.
Maybe it's a war against the American people, and they're using a war on terrorism to expand the power of the state over the lives of the people and destroy the Constitution that both you and I love.
Yes, but we must, all listeners, please know that we must keep our Constitution and our Declaration. It's mandatory. Let me get right back to Nathan.
Okay, go ahead.
Nathan, hopefully you've heard the P.O. Box address. Drop me a line or communicate with me by email. My email is very funny. It's Boopster. That's a takeoff on Betty Boop because I'm a Betty. It's lowercase letters, B-O-O-P-S-T-E-R, 96 at AOL.com. The 96 stands for the year I got the computer, which, I'm so thankful. I now have a blowing case of carpal tunnel syndrome from the computer use. But you know, with all good things comes a little negative, so I'll just take the negative because the computer is wonderful. I will have to admit that it is wonderful. So that email address again is Boopster, B-O-O-P-S-T-E-R, 96 at AOL.com. I'd like to hear from you, Nathan. And anyone else who'd like to send me an email, please feel free to do so.
Betty, let's get your address out. One more time, we're out of time. I'm going to have to let you go.
Right, for the Constitution booklet, just put a dollar check or a $10 check, and you'll get 13 booklets to CTC. That's short for Center Teaching Constitution, P.O. Box 5118, San Marcos, S-A-N, second word, M-A-R-C-O-S, California, 92079. Thank you, Dr. Stan, so very much for having me be on your program this evening. I can't believe that almost an hour has passed, but it's been very enjoyable, and I hope it's been somewhat educational. I taught in L.A., Unified School District for 30 years, so I hope this has been somewhat educational. We covered a lot of ground, and thank you for your input, Dr. Stan, and I'll see you at the next California Republican Party convention.
God bless you. Thank you so very much, Betty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Betty Cordova, and of course, unfortunately, I won't be at the next Republican convention. I resigned from my position on the Republican Central Committee when, of course, everybody on the committee voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, of course, submitted a budget just $1 billion less than Gray Davis. We recalled Gray Davis. We, of course, applaud Governor Schwarzenegger. And yet, of course, he has refused to cut spending. He went out and borrowed $15 billion from generations yet unborn, so he didn't have to make the cuts he promised he'd make. I would far rather have an enemy I know than one who professes to be a conservative, and yet, of course, continues doing exactly what Governor Gray Davis did. Well, be that as it may, we're in trouble in America because we've lost our moral foundation. We need to get back to the Constitution. We need to get back to the Bill of Rights, and I commend Betty for what she's doing. She's doing a great job. Remember also, we support the Institute of the Constitution, which has a similar program that you can't get down and hear Mr. Andrews, who's doing a wonderful job teaching it. You can teach that in your own community by simply calling the Institute of the Constitution at 886-730-9796. That's 886-730-9796. 1-800-730-9796. Why not write and get a copy of the Constitution from Betty? And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. And if you agree that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, if you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Please pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because the people of this country do not turn back to our Lord. I really fear for the future of this nation. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, my ministry, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be with you, well, let's see, tomorrow is Wednesday, so that'll be Freedom 21. We'll be back here on Thursday. Until Thursday, when we'll be back with you once again, be sure to tune in tomorrow, but Thursday we'll be with you once again. This is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.